A new episode of How She Went Global begins right after this.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Blue Dog Design, a growth consultancy that helps business and marketing leaders make the decisions that matter. In our complex world, building a sustainable future for your business, stakeholders, and the planet can be an enormous challenge. Blue Dog works with leaders to clarify what matters and make confident decisions together. With a 93% client retention rate, getting to know Blue Dog will be a good decision. Learn more at bluedogdesign.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to How She Went Global. I'm Laurel Delaney, president of Women Entrepreneurs Grow Global, and your host. Today, we're joined by Meg Worth, founder of Providence, Rhode Island-based Matanova. Our topic is pioneering a global e-commerce platform for women's health. But first, let me tell you about Meg. Meg founded Matanova in 2009, a B2B commercialization platform focused on speeding the path to market for medical innovations that increase the odds of maternal survival in childbirth. Over the last decade, Matanova has been named a Woman Deliver 50 Best Idea for Women, recipient of the Cartier Women's Initiative Awards, and received national media attention from NPR, BBC, World Radio, Bloomberg, and Forbes. Welcome, Meg, and thank you for spending quality time with us today.
Hi, Laurel. So happy to be here.
And thank you. And let's get right to the big first question of what does Matanova provide?
To answer that as succinctly as possible, we provide access to very innovative devices and diagnostics that save the lives of women, usually around the time of childbirth. More specifically, I think it's important to mention our customer. We don't sell directly to the doctors and midwives that bring so many babies into the world. We sell to procurement agents and governments and hospitals who put together the set of technologies that you need at birth as a backup in case something goes wrong.
What need do your products fulfill? Is there a general need or is it specific per product?
Well, it is a bit specific per product, but the issue that we address is risks in childbirth. And birth is meant to be a natural process, of course, but about 15% of births, something unfortunately does go wrong. And there's a set of things that go wrong that make up most of the complications. Those are hemorrhage, just uncontrolled bleeding, eclampsia, which is a hypertensive disorder that can lead to shock, and then infection or sepsis. So these three issues are universal. And by universal, I mean they affect births in sort of the richest countries and cities in the world, as well as more rural settings and lower resource countries. So we provide a set of technologies, devices, and diagnostics in the medical space that are used to either immediately prevent or to deal with one of these complications.
Okay. And then how did you come up with the company name?
Oh, well, that's kind of a fun story. I knew I wanted to talk about innovation and mothers, and nothing, you know, sort of basic English sounded cool enough, I suppose you could say, or evocative enough. And so I decided to use mater, M-A-T-E-R, for the sort of root word of maternal and mother, and then nova for the kind of root of new and innovative. And so I was actually at a cafe outdoors on a really nice spring day, sort of playing around with these words and how the logo would look. And I realized that it had some other embedded pieces to it, which were really fun. Ova, of course, the end three words is the plural of ovum, or the you know, sort of the egg that leads to the birth and the baby in the first place. And then the other really fun piece of the way we write our logo is with a line over the MA. And in talking to my team and developing the idea, we realized that ma is sort of the universal first sound that a baby makes to identify mother. So it's very universal and cross-cultural. So we thought, well, this is perfect because Maternova is really going to be accelerating information about childbirth and solutions to the dangers of childbirth across cultures. So why not embed all these ideas into one word and one sort of word mark? That's where it came from.
That's incredible. And then when you finally put it all together, when it came out, was it an aha moment, or were there many iterations on this where you wrote down different, you know, names and saying this one won't work, this one will? I'm just curious because it's, to me, it sounds like slightly complicated, but in a good way. You know, the analysis is excellent to get it to where it's at. So was it an aha, or did it really take a long time?
Well, I'll tell you, the name was a bit of an aha. I kind of did that in one sort of session. So many other parts of building the business, including the business model, were quite the reverse. They were not an aha moment. So that was one of the things that really clicked right into place. And then things like the business model really took years to sharpen and to develop.
Yeah. And then after you came up with that name, did you move it right away to check, you know, in terms of reserving the URL, the domain name for it?
Yes. Yes, I did. So that happened pretty seamlessly as well. We wanted to do a sister either company or brand called Mamanova. But that did not go as smoothly. We had some issues there with a French milk company that had an issue with that name. So, but the core Maternova, that went smoothly, and everything, you know, trademark and all of that went really, really well.
Mm-hmm. And then what spurred you to launch? Was it something you saw, you experienced? Was it when you were traveling? I mean, what really precipitated this? Boom, I've got to do this.
The immediate reason for launch was that I finally did all the research and realized there wasn't someone doing what we do. I convinced myself that we had to do it because no one else was doing it. By it, I mean putting all of the innovations in the maternal, obstetric, and reproductive health space in one spot, and then keeping track of when they were commercialized, and then actually taking the action to drive commercialization, to do all of the activities from marketing and sales and brand building, all of those things that weren't being done. But I will tell you, Laurel, that the original spark took a long time to fully come into flame. And the original spark was actually in Indonesia. I was a public health person. I was doing what was called a major safe motherhood initiative in Indonesia that was funded by USAID, the US government. And what we were doing was looking at, why are women dying in childbirth? What are the interventions? What are the things that could be done, from training to technology to data systems, etc., that could reduce the number of women dying around the time of childbirth? And I was just absolutely fascinated by this issue. I couldn't think of anything that would be more important to do with my life. This is now over 20 years ago, than to try to tackle this problem. It didn't make sense to me. And so I was already very hooked on the idea. And then there was a very unfortunate thing that happened, which is that one of the obstetricians, who was an Indonesian obstetrician and expert on in the field and on maternal health, she herself became pregnant, and she herself died during childbirth.
Oh, how awful.
Which really was very sobering. And I kind of had to rethink everything. And I thought, Well, I'm not sure that everything we're doing here is enough. There has to be something bigger and something else that I'm meant to do to really leverage change in this process. So that was the spark, and that was 20 years ago. And it took me a lot more, frankly, just research and experiences to figure out what my unique angle on tackling this issue would be.
What an amazing journey. And then have you learned as you grow, like is your educational background involved in this, Meg? Or I'm just trying to understand how you get so smart at all of this, really, that you would recognize it when you were out there and in Indonesia and witness something like this and feel, I can do this.
Well, I just knew I needed a different perspective. So I would say the next 10 to 15 years was getting that perspective and experimenting with what, you know, what the answer might be and what I might be uniquely suited to offer. So I knew I wasn't a researcher. I'm not a clinician. I'm a creative person, and I'm also trained in international development and public policy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very fortunate to get to work in New York on the UN Millennium Project, looking at how do we reach the sustainable development goals? How do we make major change at a global level? So I learned a lot there. And I then sort of moved into consulting to biotech startups and really got to understand that world. And I would say, you know, all of those experiences sort of added up to then this idea of Matronova, which was my own unique take on this. It was, let's think about all of these individual innovations.
Right.
Some were diagnostics to test for a sexually transmitted infection that might affect birth, or to test for anemia and all of these things you might want to test for in advance. And some were devices, almost more mechanical devices that you would use at birth. But what I was starting to notice was that all of these startups and innovations, they were all seeking the same market in the end. They were all seeking those same set of customers that I mentioned, the procurement agents, the people providing care on the ground. And I just thought it made perfectly logical sense to have a single marketplace where you had a brand surrounding all of these technologies, a trusted brand. And that is now what I like to think of as Matronova, as a trusted brand that has spent some time researching, validating, and getting user feedback on these products. So that was all an outgrowth of work from within the startup world, one device at a time. And the leap for me was, how do I create this trusted branded marketplace where we can move all of these innovations along as a set, if that makes sense?
It totally does. And then tell me, who is important in your network to keep your business humming now?
I mean, the midwives are my heroes. The midwives of the world tend to be somewhat overlooked and underpaid, but they are this incredible force that is literally using their hands and their skills to bring in generation after generation. In some of the countries that we sell to, they're is not a tradition, or there is not a set of OBGYNs that cover, you know, the population. It's all done by midwives. So they are the key, and harnessing their voices and their needs is absolutely key to what we do. And then thinking through and asking those midwives or their representatives, their affinity groups, what's missing, what else, you know, would be helpful in giving birth in X, Y, and Z situations, in shepherding in a safe birth, what else might you need? And that keeps us always on the pulse of the innovations of what's happening. So we need the midwives, we need the agencies that procure for them and supply them. So that's a government. That is a humanitarian organization like Médecins Sans Frontières, or it's a very large distributor or hospital or a research institute. And that's been quite a journey, Laurel, to figure out the people who use our products are different than the people who procure our products. We have to have all of their voices and their needs in place and understood and constantly evolving. And then I would say, you know, as far as the network on the other end, we also need innovators. So we have all kinds of biomedical innovations coming out of engineering schools, medical schools, sometimes a combination of business, medical, and engineering teams that cross all of those disciplines. And we have them coming from all over the world. So it's this really exciting pipeline of innovations that we have the privilege to learn about and to leverage.
We'll be right back after this message.
That's the red line at rush hour. That's the sound of lunch hour at the lake. Associated Bank knows what it means to live here, because we do too. So when it comes to financial guidance, we take the time to get to know what you need. From a personal loan to a new home, Associated Bank will be here. Learn more at associatedbank.com/lending. Loan products are offered by Associated Bank N.A. and are subject to credit approval and involve interest and other costs. Please ask about details on fees and terms and conditions of these products. Property insurance and flood insurance, if applicable, will be required on collateral.
What percentage of your revenues are international?
Our revenue so far it's 80 to 90% international. Sometimes the products are bought in the US, but they're for use overseas. Most of our products are being used in international global settings, ranging from Peru, Bolivia, Mexico, over to Germany, Tanzania, and India, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. So it's not every country, but it's sort of pockets of the world where we have spent some time cultivating relationships and partnerships.
Right. And then, Meg, on the customers in those markets that you just mentioned, are you reacting to demand where they're in touch with you, or are you proactive and actively reaching out to those markets?
Well, we are largely, until now, we have been doing guerrilla marketing. So we have a very active set of social media handles. So we're always pushing out information. We also have a very active and widely subscribed newsletter. So over the course of building the business, mm-hmm. across all of those channels, and not knowing where the overlap is, we have 50,000 followers. And those people are following our innovations and spreading the news. We then also do have a lot of investment in search engine optimization. So that when people are looking for a way to solve a problem in maternal health, in obstetrics, in midwifery, they are, when our SEO is working well, they are being driven to Maternova to find out more.
I think on the social media, I just saw just a couple of days ago when you said in total, like probably more than 50,000 followers, and Twitter alone, I thought was so strong and healthy. I think you had more than 8,000 or 9,000 followers on your Twitter account, which is really commendable.
Well, we love Twitter. We have learned so much on Twitter. I mean, we have benefited, but we have also learned so much from Twitter about who's out there and what's out there. And it's actually an incredible tool for us for building partnership and our brand out.
I think you've already touched on this, but I want to make sure listeners are pretty clear on who are your customers. You know, again, I think you said, you know, B2B, or if it's B2C, women, doctors. Tell us again about that. I want to make sure we cover it.
You know, the customers are really B2B. And while we do have doctors who might reach out, in the end, we are targeting larger volume orders. So that doctor might say to their hospital or their government, I want to order these innovative ways to stop postpartum hemorrhage, this really cool suit called the non-emetic anti-shock garment, this medical device that stops hemorrhage. And I'm going to order 20 to start, but then I'm going to show how it works here in our setting. And then we're going to put it on a repeat order to the government or to our hospital. So that's sort of how it works. The governments procure, they may have a partner distributor that procures, or the hospital or hospital chain procures from us.
Okay, and then where are your products made? And is there a distinction of other companies' products versus, let's say, your own branded line of products?
We've experimented a lot with different suppliers, and I will say that our products are made, majority are made in the U.S., even the devices and the diagnostics, which is a differentiator. There's a lot of devices and diagnostics that are made in China. We have found that our customers prefer the offering that we have made in the USA, parts manufactured sometimes in Europe, and some products made in India and South Africa. So those are our supplier agreements. And they have proven to be, you know, we are always bringing on new products and then occasionally retiring products, but the core set are from those source countries.
Okay. And then how do you handle the shipping and get paid when you're moving the products?
You know, I think it's important to note, again, these are medical products that are needed for really emergency situations. And so for that reason, in part, and also because they're exclusive to us, so we have an exclusive with the supplier, and they're something that's needed quickly, we are able to ask for full payment in advance.
Okay.
And then because we have built trust, you know, we get the payment in advance, and then we ship through a variety of trusted logistics partners. And that has also been really quite a learning experience, learning who to trust for which shipping routes and how to get the price down and all of that. But we are very proud of the fact that we do offer the customers, you know, shipping from Matronova or from our warehouses to anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. And then on those payments in advance, is that a wire transfer, Meg, that comes through?
It is. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then what about, let's talk about partnerships or licensing arrangements. Do you have those going on? And if you have, has it accelerated growth at your business?
The licensing is something we've come to in the last several years. We started out more as a pure distributor. As we have gained some stronger relationships, a better legal understanding and foothold, we are licensing with some of the suppliers as well. And that is our primary strategy moving forward. It does give us, I would say, more latitude, and more sort of a bargaining position. I can give one quick example, which is that Duke University had a biomedical innovation. They have licensed this product to Matronova, and we have been able to sell pretty large quantities into Uganda, Ecuador, and Mali, of all places. That pouch is a drug delivery device. It stabilizes the drugs that stop the transfer of HIV from a mom to a baby. So it's a pretty incredible technology. It does fit right in our wheelhouse. Though I focus a lot on the mothers, we also like to work on the keeping the newborn alive as well through these novel innovations.
It's fantastic. And you recently secured outside Series A funding. What does that mean? And will that enable you to scale faster globally, Meg?
Yes, it will. The funding that we secured is primarily for additional licenses. We have a list of 16 licenses that are top priority for us to bring on. And then related to that, additional sales and marketing expertise to just work on more products simultaneously to additional countries. So it will definitely help us scale, help us expand the business, but really use the core business model that we spent a couple of years developing.
What an exciting time, huh? What a very exciting time on that.
Very exciting.
It must have been a tremendous amount of work to make that happen too. That could be a second interview, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. But speaking about, you know, all kinds of cool things going on, you also recently had a prestigious, I think it's pronounced like a Katerva Award for Global Sustainability. What does that award mean?
That was really a neat thing. Katerva is, they're not a new institution, but they're very interesting. They use scouts all around the world to source hundreds, if not thousands, of impact-related initiatives, all aspects of impact. Now, Maternova won for the gender category, which is kind of neat. It wasn't as specific as maternal health, but they really recognized and understood that, you know, women, in order to make a change in all aspects of gender, women need to survive. I mean, we have to have women surviving in order to take care of their children, their households, their communities. And so that was a really amazing honor to get that recognition. I think it was 2019. It was a couple of years ago, but we're always very proud of that.
And does it provide, you know, stronger like international media attention as well, Meg, when you receive a prestigious honor such as that?
It does. Definitely gets media attention. I think we got some testimonials from the judges for that award, which really spoke to, you know, it takes our impact outside of just the narrow medical world and public health world, which is, of course, that's quite a world within itself. But just to be able to say and to be able to point to this award, you know, look, out of every nomination that they got for gender, they really felt like we deserve the award for doing something that leveraged a lot of different factors and created strong impact for women everywhere. So,
well, congratulations on that. And I'm sure you'll be earning many more in the future. My final question to you is, how do you stay inspired?
I really love the stories from the two angles that we talked about in the course of this conversation. I love the stories from the midwives, and we're actually on our social media channels, we're doing a series on, you know, clinics around the world and great saves that the clinics have made, meaning tell us a story of a woman's life you saved. And those stories really keep me going because they remind me that very simple, rugged innovations and medical devices can make the difference between life and death. And we're very fortunate to be able to have direct links to some of these frontline providers. And then on the other end, I also get equally inspired when I talk to the inventors who have been, some of them have been toiling for 20 years on a product, and we get to finally come in. We come in after all the hard work is done and say, oh, let us work with you to accelerate the path to market so that more people hear about this more rapidly and thus more lives are saved. And that is really fun as well.
That's extraordinary. Well, thank you, Meg. And thank you everyone for listening. WEG is more committed than ever to serve and help women entrepreneurs and business owners grow their business global by allowing them to tell their stories about going global, share new ways to take on the world, get motivated, be inspired, and have fun.
Thank you, Laurel.
To learn more about WEG, visit www.womenentrepreneursgrowglobal.org. Our host is Laurel Delaney. Audio engineer is Bob Maravich. Lead designer is Laura Fairman. The theme song was written by the women-owned company, What Up Pitches, and I'm your announcer, Lucy Brooks. Thanks for listening to How She Went Global.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Blue Dog Design, a growth consultancy that helps business and marketing leaders make the decisions that matter. In our complex world, building a sustainable future for your business, stakeholders, and the planet can be an enormous challenge. Blue Dog works with leaders to clarify what matters and make confident decisions together. With a 93% client retention rate, getting to know Blue Dog will be a good decision. Learn more at BlueDogDesign.com.